Well, I want to welcome everybody to today's Entrepreneur Show. My name is Heidi Richards Mooney, and I am your host today. As always, I'm delighted to be here, and again, another amazing woman to interview. I've been following Anna online for a little while now, so I was delighted when she accepted my invitation to be interviewed today, and I promise you it won't be painless and hopefully a lot of fun. And I want to welcome any guests who join us, and if you're watching the replay, thank you very much. And let's get started. Let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. Her name is Anna Mulikian. She is the host of the Mindset Zone podcast, director of education for the Book Yourself Solid School of Coach Training, and co-founder of moreclientsmorefun.com. Her podcast, Mindset Zone, is featured in the Huffington Post, 15 podcasts that will leave you pondering life's big questions. And during its launch, it reached number one in iTunes, new and noteworthy in business management and marketing, health, self-help, education, and training. Oh, but wait, there's so much more, which I'm going to let Anna tell you a little bit about. So please welcome Anna.
What a pleasure to be here. Really nice. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, my pleasure. And I'm just delighted. So let's start with your background. Tell us a little bit about your background and how it led you to becoming an entrepreneur.
And the interesting thing is that I was not born an entrepreneur at all. I always had the thing about doing things, and I was always a doer and make things happen. That was a trait that from very young age I had. But I always make that work with my academia, because I started to be a good student in high school. Then I went to college. I was doing psychology. So I really love what I do. And my life was academia, honestly. From my bachelor's, I went to a master, PhD, everything in psychology. I was a clinical psychologist, teaching in a private college in Portugal and then in another college in Spain. So totally in love in what I was doing. I had my also 1 or 2 afternoons per week. I had private clients, but was like a hobby. My main job was teaching. Everything was great until I came to a conference in the United States and I met who became my husband. And that implied moving from Europe to the US. And there is where he's from an entrepreneur family. So he was raised with that spirit. Yes, his own business. So I was like, was my first education. Oh, we can do that. Oh, interesting. And then why not? I can have my own base business. Love that. So that is how it starts. And from psychology, I decided to train as a life coach, because there was like the continuation, I think, was very natural for me, personal development. And then, where are the clients?
I knew that a lot of people have.
Because I did Odyssey, because for me, a PhD in psychology was not enough to qualify me as a life coach. So I did all, I found out a good course to do that. I really love their philosophy and their thing. And they were ICF, International Coach Federation, recognized and accredited. So I did the training with them. I got my credentials. I did all the hours that I need to do, all the peer coaching, all the everything. I start to get clients like battering or very low fees just to get that experience under my belt. And then, okay, but now I want to make this a business. Get the income that I think I deserve from this. And again, where are the clients? But I think that I have to be grateful of my background in academia, because when we have a problem, and if there are other people that are doing it, the first question is, okay, there is a problem. There are people that are doing this, so must be a solution out there. Let's research. So that is what I start to do, looking around, looking at what other people, what other coaches were doing that were successful, that were making it online, and try to learn from them. And I start to get into many courses and many things until I really stumble into the Book Yourself Solid system. And like I joke about, I was saved by it, because it really opens. Because I had a very negative view about marketing. and selling, because I didn't study psychology to sell. I didn't study psychology to become a salesperson. So I had a very negative view about that, and that was preventing me to grow my business. And when I still remember when I got the first time the book, the first edition of the book, and the subtitle is "The Book Yourself Solid." I have here the latest edition. Let's see if I can show this, the subtitle here.
Yes, the fastest, easiest, and most reliable system for getting more clients that you can handle. Then you can handle, even if you hate marketing and selling. It's a great book. I've read it. It is just amazing.
Yeah. But that last phrase, even if you hate marketing and selling, say, it's me.
And so many people say that.
And I say, so I start to read and I say, I realize, first of all, that marketing is just a way of communicating.
Yeah.
And I was, okay, that makes sense. I study communication. I think I'm a good communicator. So I think I can do this. And it's creating awareness about what you do, about what you have to offer the world. And that is why I think most of us in coaching, consulting, in this arena, we are in a mission of making a difference. And we have a message.
Yes.
So it's just a way, marketing is a way of creating awareness around that message, creating that energy that you need for people to notice us. And when I start to change my perspective, things start to make sense, and I start to be more outspoken about what I do, be more out there, and things then start to change. So that is my beginning in the entrepreneurial world.
That's wonderful. So what do you think were some of the things in academia that helped you to become, you know, this open-minded, self-aware person that was able to take what you learned from there and become an entrepreneur?
I think the love of learning. But that sometimes can work in a favor and against us.
Yeah.
But I think that is something very common in many coaches that I work with, from colleagues to clients, that we have this, most of us, this is not our first profession. It's the second or the third and so forth. And I think most people in my universe that I love will classify themselves as lifelong learners. They love to learn new things. And for me, learning is, if you say, okay, you cannot learn anything more starting from today, say, what is the point of being here? Steph, honestly, being on, even if it's, I love the process of learning. And that was something that served me very well in academia and also as an entrepreneur. But the other side, because sometimes things have like the flip side of it, that is so easy. Oh, shining object over there, right. Something new to learn. Let's go. And that is one of the need of keeping the focus when you know where you want to go. Okay, let's do for that. Now it's time to stop a little bit the learning, put in a pause. You know enough. You know enough. Let's apply that. Let's test it and make it work. And then you can learn more. So that some self-discipline there was very helpful.
And that's great advice, because I think people, you know, become paralyzed by knowledge sometimes, by learning too so much that they don't have itself. I think it's lack of confidence. I think that it could be the case.
Yeah, and becomes is a very natural excuse, a procrastination excuse. I still have to learn this more. And we always say, and who is going to deny that it's important to learn things? I have to invest in this program. Of course, it's so, but okay, invest in the program. There is a phrase that I heard recently that I love. It's okay to get self-help. It's not so okay to get shelf help. Something that you buy and put on the shelf. Buy something totally. The main part of my income comes from selling information products. So I buy a lot. So I'm very part of the cycle of the information products in both ends of the spectrum. But don't buy just to have it. Buy for using it, for applying, for see the results, and for build from there. That is the important thing.
I've had that problem too, where I just get so excited about some product, if you will. And it's interesting because you and I have a similar background. I have a degree in psychology. That's my master's. Mm-hmm. However, I love marketing. I was total opposite. I found that the psychology part of it was a good tool, but it wasn't what I wanted to practice. But I loved marketing because I guess my bright brain creative side really kicked in. So it's funny, but it's rare that you find someone who does love marketing. It takes them a while to learn to love it, I think. Most people don't go in loving it. They're really, you know, like what you said, hate selling, and that's all a part of the process. Yeah. So, well, let me ask you, what is More Clients, More Fun? How did you come up with that name? I love it.
So this is also comes from collaboration. So from that beginning as a life coach, then I found the book Your Self-Solid System. Then I bought the book. And then Michael Port, that is the creator of the system, of the Book Yourself Solid System, he started to do more online courses. I started to become participate in these online courses. And he also opened a certification for people to become certified as Book Yourself Solid coaches. And I jumped into that because I was already doing a book club. And I felt, okay, at least I get, again, it's from academia. We like to have the certifications and that letters to add after our name. So I became a Book Yourself Solid certified coach. And because, again, I love to learn, I asked him, okay, can you do a good deal? And I say, another year, I want to really know this inside out. And he was amazing. And I started to work more with them, more with the team, to the point, to make a long story short, I became the director of education for the Book Yourself Solid School of Coach Training, something that I love, that interaction with other coaches and teaching them the system. And from there, I really, how to say, I know many of the certified coaches, of course, and I like to collaborate with them. So if they are doing a webinar, and if they invite me or for a podcast or something like that, I'm always, if I have time, saying, yes, of course, I will be there for them. And things start like that. Was one of these colleagues that became certified, that was starting his own business. And he had this brilliant intuition of that the Book Yourself Solid system work very well when applied to LinkedIn. Me being the specialist in the Book Yourself Solid, we did some workshops together where I was speaking about the Book Yourself Solid and he was speaking about how we could apply that in LinkedIn. And things start to work really from these one, two situations of collaborations. We see, okay, there is something here. So we decide I had an online course on the Book Yourself Solid system. Yeah, the online course of the book of the LinkedIn. So we decide, okay, let's bring them together.
Fabulous.
And that is how it starts. And then we are thinking, okay, how we are going to call this? And yes, it's about how to get more clients, how to enroll more clients. Is that what most coaches, consultants are looking for? And is what we specialize in. That we want to give our personal kind of bend to it. And More Clients, More Fun came out and say, okay, we like that. Let's stick with that. Is the domain open? Yes. .com is ours. So we have moreclientsmorefun.com. That is the beginning, was about 1 year ago when we started with that project.
Wow.
It's really amazing how much it's growing this year.
That is so great. Well, congratulations. It is a great name. And I think that it you know what? I think when we get to be adults, we forget how important fun is.
Yes.
So, and you can have more fun if you have more clients, because you're able to do the things that you can afford to do, the things that you want to do.
Is that the mention? And why? Because why we want to get more clients? It's not just to be busy. I think
right.
We can. yes, we want to make a bigger impact. We want to help more people, but we also want to bring some fun in our lives. And it's also that we all like to also play with that more fun, because we really believe that the process of marketing and selling can be fun when it's based in the relationships, that when you work with people that inspire you, that energize you, looking for working with more people like them can be a fun process.
So how did you find your partner? Because I know you have a couple of partners actually, right?
Yes. So both of them. So
let's talk about that one first.
Paul McManus. So he's the person that he was one of the persons that I helped in the certification process as the director of education of the Book Yourself Solid School of Coach Training. And I kept in touch with him because he's a very fun person to be with. And we kept in touch. And he was the one that invited me to do a joint venture webinar together. And I say, yes. So we start to work together from that point on. So his background is very interesting because he was the CEO, was his mom that owned at the time. He was the CEO of Office Products Company, not, how do you say, between El Centro, that is between Phoenix and San Diego, there is this place that's called El Centro. That means the center, and is really in the middle of nowhere. But you are, yeah, a very. But the interesting thing of these office product companies that the family owned there for 100-something years. So was a really institution there, and for his family. And he was the CEO, and quite and he's joined the mentoring program of the book Yourself Solid, and then he decided to become a coach, and he realized that what he loved to do was coaching. So he resigned from his CEO position, and I give him loads of brave credits for that, because he had a stable income, everything was set for him there as long as he want, but he said, no, this is not my thing, I'm resigning from this, and I want to help other people in a different way. And at the time, he had another great personal story of having lost more than 100 pounds. I don't know now exactly how many. He was with a health program that helped him to lose that weight. So he was teaching people to do that too. And then he got Book Solid, applying the Book Yourself Solid system. And then if he was realizing, meanwhile, he finished the certification as a Book Yourself Solid coach, that he loved the coaching people and helping other people to get more clients. And so he became, or he transitioned to become a business coach and helping other people like coaches and consultants. And he found that LinkedIn was a really a powerful medium. When we apply the Book Yourself Solid system to LinkedIn, we can really speed up the results. So that is the origin of it.
So and then, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then we have, because now we are three people in this, more clients, more fun. The team is three people. It's another Book Yourself Solid certified coach from Hawaii. We met in person in one of the live events, and she's great energy, wonderful person, incredible, like hardworking person, and clever and fast, and she always liked to learn new things, so it was a perfect fit. And again, she started to help us in some projects, and then she's part of the team now.
Wonderful. Excellent. And welcome, Mr. Wonderful. Looks like Mr. Wonderful just joined us. So, then let's talk about how you integrate the Book Yourself Solid system into the LinkedIn program. What are some of the tips that you give to clients to make that work and to grow your business, or grow your client base?
Yeah. So the first thing that we have to realize is like the shift of perspective about marketing. So we like to start by saying, and if anybody goes to one of our free webinars, it's one of the things that I almost 99% of the times, if not 100% of the time, say in the beginning of the webinar, marketing does not get you clients. And people go, what? And I repeat, marketing does not get you clients, at least not in a consistent way. And because the way that we understand marketing within the Book Yourself Solid framework is that the function of marketing is to create awareness about who you are and what you have to offer. Yes, it's essential. It's because some people are, don't have to do marketing. I was not saying that. But marketing has the very essential role of creating awareness that you exist, but that in itself, most of the time, is not enough. Because from the moment that somebody become aware that you exist until the moment that they buy from you, there is like, okay, the moment that somebody becomes aware you exist until the moment that somebody buys from you, there is a gap. And you have to have a plan to bridge this gap. And that is what the Book Yourself Solid does in an incredible way. We can make a person go to the moment of awareness until the moment that they buy from us in a very natural way by building this bridge. What is made of is trust and credibility. And you build trust and credibility over time. So when you realize that there is a process and there is like a roadmap that you can take, help the people go from that moment of awareness, okay, this person exists. And because the first thing in their head is about them, it's like, can you, the service professional, help me get what I want? It's about them. It's not about you. They don't care that you have your own company, that you are the CEO of this company or the thing. Their question is, can you help me get what I want? And then, yes, they are going to check. If they think that the answer is yes, they are going to check you out. And then your credentials sometimes can be important. Your experience is important because it gives the credibility that you need for them. Okay, I feel that I'm in a solid foundation here, that this person works with people like me to help achieve the result that I want. And then that potential client, still a potential client, gives you the opportunity to earn their trust. And you can start to make sales offers that are proportionate to the amount of trust that you have earned. And then when it's the right time for them, they will ask for a conversation. And if you know how to price your offers and how to have a super simple sales conversation, that is the term that we use, we have a formula for that, then most of the times you book the business. And you can repeat this again and again and again, but we have to understand this process from the moment that somebody becomes aware you exist until the moment that they buy and how to bridge the gap.
Excellent. Excellent. So then, once you've started building that credibility and everything, what are some of the things you need to do with LinkedIn in order to make those things work together?
Yes. So first thing has to do with that critical moment. Create awareness, and this really LinkedIn is very, very powerful for you to make your profile be seen by the right people. So if you know who is your target market, and if your target market, of course, in LinkedIn, if they are not there, okay, it's not a panacea. Your target market has to be there. But if it's professionals, B2B, any type of high-paying professionals, there are many people there, to CEOs, to executives, to leaders, to other coaches. There is a beautiful universe of people, of professional people in LinkedIn. If they are there, because you can search for them for industry from specific company sites, then there is ways that you can put your profile showing up to them. And what happens is that if they see somebody checking their profile, they are going, or if they see an update that resonates with them, what they are going to look is your name and what shows up under your name. That is the LinkedIn headline. And if in that space that you have, instead of saying, I'm the CEO or I'm the co-founder of More Clients, More Fun, that really nobody knows. If they don't know me, they don't know what is that. They, cute name, and they keep going. But if under my name they read, I help coaches enroll more clients using LinkedIn. I'm a coach. And I really like, I'm here in LinkedIn and I'm not getting clients. Everybody says that is a great way to get clients, but I really don't know how. And she says that she specializes in helping people like me getting something that I want. I earn at least that first click. So I have that, grab their attention. And now they are going to click on my name to check me out in my profile. So the first thing for everybody is really have a great headline in your LinkedIn profile, because that is the first, is a great photo, because the photo is also very important. You want to transmit the message of professionalism in your photo, of likability in your photo. It's your name, your photo, and that headline, they go everywhere with you in LinkedIn. So that is the first point. Absolutely. And then when they click in and go to your LinkedIn profile, there is a formula of having your LinkedIn profile in a certain way that you can start to speak with them, connect with them.
So then do you think that the summary, for instance, which is usually the first thing that comes up, should be written as a conversation, or do you think it should be written from a third person, like so-and-so is, as opposed to I am? What do you viewpoints on that? Everybody feels differently.
Yeah, and I will say neither. I will explain in a moment. First of all, already, I know that this is one of the most annoying answers that we can give, but really the chance.
Yes.
Target market, terms of culture, if he's from here in the United States, he's from other cultures, so it depends. But for most service professionals based in Western civilization or Western country, I will say that the rule, and sometimes we have to break the rule, but the rule is that we should speak with our ideal client. So we know the target market that we want to attract. We have to be very clear about that in our LinkedIn profile. Like in my case, I help coaches enroll more clients. My main target market are coaches. Do I only work with coaches? Of course not. I have speakers. I have other people that are consultants that are trainers. I work with a variety of people, but my branding of my marketing is focused on coaches. And other people are going, if you help coaches, can you help me also? And if I can help them, and if they are my ideal clients, people with whom I do my best work with, because they have a certain set of qualities and characteristics, I'm going to say yes, of course. But if I know well the people with whom I do my best work, the language that they resonate with, and then if I write my summary that, yes, I totally agree, that should be the first thing that show up in your background area in LinkedIn, should be your LinkedIn summary. If you use that space, it is like a blank canvas to start to engage, to start to speak with that ideal client, that is gold. But very important, don't, and this is a very valuable tip, don't start, I do this. Again, they don't care about you at that moment. They are looking, they have a problem, they have a desire, compelling desire about something, they are looking for a solution. So start by speaking about them. If you are, or you are a coach, you are an entrepreneur in a mission, start to speak about something about them that they identify with. And some people will not identify, because people, yeah, but that I'm excluding other people. Great! You are not meant to work with everybody. So use that to self-express yourself, to be very clear with the people that you do your best work with, to really resonate with them, because that are the ones, if you are blunt, you would say you are not noticed. But if you are very clear, I love to work with this type of people, are you one of them? Oh, I can help you. Because then is when you start to speak about you and about your credentials and about your experience, but you connect with the person first. It's like if you are in a networking event, in a conversation, and say, hi, how are you? Oh, I'm doing this, and it's all about you.
Right.
The person, boom. But if you start to ask them questions, so tell me about what you do. Oh, interesting. And if you ask to engage, I love that area. Can you tell me more? Then the person, when you say, then almost naturally will ask, so, and tell me now about yourself. Oh, you know, but I love this conversation because one of my specialities is helping people like you to achieve this. If you want, I can send you a free thing that I have that can give you an idea of this process. But it becomes much more a natural conversation. So,
and you know what? And you've said so many wonderful things in that short amount of time about branding and about, you know, targeting the right people. I love what you said about networking because I think that's so true. I think one of the things, and I try to teach my clients this, is to be a good interviewer, because that's why I love doing these shows. I love to interview people. You really can find out really what's behind that person and what they're really about, and if there's somebody you want to do business with. So, and it is true, people will pay more attention to what you have to say after you've paid attention to what they've had to say. It's just natural. Otherwise, it just kind of goes over their head.
Yes.
Now they're really interested in what you do because you are so interested in them. So that's a really, I mean, just some great tips, Anna. Thank you.
And that is what we try to use LinkedIn, because LinkedIn, I have this theory for LinkedIn and all social media in general. Because again, thinking about my ideal clients, coaches, that usually are very in-person people. They are people, they love to interact, they love to communicate, they love to help. And they are usually very high in emotional and social intelligence. If you put them in an in-person event, they know how to read the room, they know how to interact with people, they are very aware of that. But you put these same amazing people in the internet, it's like their emotional intelligence coefficient goes. And what happened? They lose the track that social media is just another way of communicating. And it's not if somebody, okay, send us connection request. And the first thing that we answer back is, hey, I have this to sell. It's like, oh, okay. I just hello, say hello back. How are you? So start a conversation, because they will never do that in an in-person event.
Exactly. Well, and most people don't know how to converse socially online either. So it's so true. You have to pay attention to what other people are saying. Just in person.
And of course, as you said, you can, for instance, if somebody sends me a connection request in LinkedIn and I accept, I ask them, just curious, why did you send me the connection request? So I make things strategically to start a conversation that in some cases can lead to a sales conversation. But I go, as you said, but let's go one step at a time in the process.
Right. So, yeah, because I've reached out to a lot of people on LinkedIn and I've connected with them and I usually have a very good reason for doing it. A lot of times it's because of the type of work they're doing. I'm more interested in it. Maybe not because I want to hire them or anything. Yeah, oftentimes it's because people like you, I want to interview them. And I like to meet people that are different than me. I don't like to be surrounded by everybody who's just like me because that's boring. You know, yeah. I learn best from people who are much different. My mother always said, surround yourself with people who are smarter than you, and pretty soon you'll be pretty darn smart. Yes. And she was right, you know. So we have a question from the audience. So I'd like to say that out loud. It's, what about tips for using LinkedIn SlideShare? Do you have anything to comment about that, Anna?
The SlideShare is a great tool visually. So LinkedIn is really trying to integrate lots of visual elements. And now you can even also, besides SlideShare, you can put YouTube videos, for instance, in the media section, for instance, in the summary, you can put, or even in Pulse, that is the blog platform in LinkedIn, you can write something and put, embed a SlideShare or embed a YouTube video. So it's really powerful. So if you, because we are all about, most people that I work with are solopreneurs. One person business, sometimes they have virtual assistants, very small teams. So we really have to develop this, the art of reusing, repurpose of our materials. So if you have things in SlideShare, yes, please reuse that. If they're the same context, the same area that you are promoting yourself in LinkedIn, you can totally use it and it's very powerful.
Absolutely. Well, good.
Yeah, and nowadays they are the LinkedIn bot SlideShare, so they really make it easy for us to integrate there.
Oh yeah, you just go on SlideShare and it's asks you if you want to share it on your profile, and it automatically shows up wherever you want it. I love that. Yeah. So wonderful. Yeah, and I recommend people use SlideShare a lot because, as you said, it's visual and it's easy. If you don't like to do videos, SlideShare is the next best thing. Yeah. Or something similar in a presentation format. And so you mentioned about talk. I want to go back a little bit about the ideal client, because I think that's something that people do get a little bit scared of. And what I mean by that is they think what you, and you mentioned it, that, oh, if I only market to coaches, nobody else will think that I will work with them. And so can you elaborate a little bit on that? Like you said, you work with consultants and speakers mm-hmm. and trainers.
Okay. So an important thing is, again, I'm going back to my roots of the Book Yourself Solid system here. But we do, and Michael was, when he wrote the book, I always say that he must be struck by a marketing genius muses, because I already deconstruct the system several times to create the training material and to create my own program and then put it back together. And there is so many points that everything connects, and it's amazing. So it's my, okay, let me go out of my soapbox here, because I really love the system. But in one very helpful thing is that the differentiation that we do between an ideal client, the target market, and the niche. So first of all, we have to have crystal clear who are our ideal clients. Who are the people that inspire us, that energize us, and above all, that allow us to do our best work? Because two magical things happen when we are doing our best work. One, people are talking about it. And can you think about the more powerful marketing that people speaking about our best work? Because it's going to be the person that we are working with directly. It's going to be the people in that surrounding that person. So that is extremely powerful. And second, we are loving almost every minute of the work we do. Because, how do you say? And of course, we cannot. There will always be part of our work that I will prefer to delegate out. When I can, I will delegate out. I don't like very much to do this, answer all the emails that sometimes we have to answer. But if we like most of the things that we do in our day to day in our work, that's not why we become entrepreneurs and our own bosses to do what we love, then we want to do more about it.
Yeah.
But if we fill our calendars with people that drain our energy out, that bored us, that just see their name in our calendar, we go, oh God, again.
I've got those clients. I don't have anybody like that anymore.
Yeah, but sometimes if people don't have a filter and be very clear to attract the right people, mm-hmm. then they can attract. It's not that they are bad people, because then you also have people, but they are good people. And yes, they are wonderful people, but there will be another service professional that love to work with them. For instance, I personally love to work with people that they call themselves technologically challenged people. They call themselves like that. They say, oh, computers and technology. And what is that of double confirmations and the double opt-in? I don't understand nothing like that. And some of my colleagues say, oh, that drains my energy working with a person like that. And I say, oh, send them to me. I love to teach them that. So there will be somebody out there that a match. So you just have to be, if you know what are like the five top qualities of your ideal client, and in all your marketing, you are speaking to those qualities. I like to work with people that are making a difference, that want to be a change in this world. So I speak about that. And if somebody that just want to increase their income for the best reason in the world, because they have their family to raise and they want to give the best to their kids, it's very honorable and they need to create more income. I'm not judging, but I love to work with somebody that is in the mission of changing the world.
Yes.
And I'm very clear about that. I try to be very clear in my marketing about that. So that is where you should draw a line in the sand. I want to work with these type of people because I do my best work with them. I was my best work with people that are creative somehow, that are a little bit right brain. They recognize the value of the left brain, but they love they are a little bit not linear in their thinking, and they need somebody that gives them a structure and they can help you on them, and they appreciate that. That are driven because they really want to. Now many people left the corporate world and now they are finally doing what they always desire to do and they really want to make that a success. So that is the first thing, very, very, very clear of the qualities of your ideal client. Also equally clear about what I call the red flags. The things that if you see from the beginning that these people are going to drain my energy, so let them go. Let them go. The universe will take care of finding somebody that can work with them. You focus on the people with whom you do your best work. So ideal clients that are different than target market. Because if one is a question of principle, the ideal clients, working only with ideal clients, target market is a practical thing. Just practical. You need to know where to go to find clients. You need to narrow your focus, because like I said before, most of us are solopreneurs or have a very small team, so limited resources. So you need to know where to focus your marketing energy. And that is what the target market allow us to do. Focus our energy. I always give this image, or I love to give this image, that most solopreneurs are, you know, the incandescent light bulb, like the old Edison kind of bulb that now will be extinct soon. But if you imagine like a night light, the old light night, like a 4-watt bulb, electrical bulb, and you could look, there is the filament inside it that is like that little line that goes from one top to the other. And when it's a night light, you can look to it. It's beautiful. It's like a fire burning inside, and that creates that beautiful glow and that beautiful light. That is how I see most of my clients and myself in the beginning too. It's this beautiful light, a fire burning inside. There is this beautiful glow that people can see that is almost magical because they are living their passion. But let's be honest, that light, if you are in the middle of the day with the bright sunlight or with a more than a million other lights like in the internet, nobody is going to notice.
Right.
But the incredible thing is that same energy, that same 4-watt We don't have to increase the energy. That's M4 watt of energy. If I'm in alignment and you have a laser beam with a 4 watt energy, you can burn a hole in a wall.
Wow.
The difference is one incandescent is dispersed everywhere. The other one is focused in a very specific area. And that is what allow us, a target market allow us to do. Instead of going everywhere and go thin air anywhere and don't do an impact, if we decide a group of people, an industry that we are going to focus on for a while, we are not going to get married with them. We are just going to focus our energy, our message on them for a while, and then we can grow from there. Then we know where to show up. When we show up there in that group of people, they can recognize us that we are dedicated in helping people like them. And they already have usually networks of communications that we can be part of. So make our work of spreading the message much easier. So, and when we work with our ideal clients within that group, because not everybody there in that target market are going to be ideal clients. It's going to be a subset of them, the ones that we want to attract. But when we attract those, we do our best work with them, and then they start to speak about what we do together. Because there is already networks of communication established, the message is going to spread much quicker. So it's really magical. And very, very important, because I said in the beginning, we differentiate ideal clients from target market and from niche. Because, and this is very unique of the Book Yourself Solid system. Many of the marketing systems out there, you have target market and niche, they see it as the same thing. We see target market in terms of industry, demographic, a group of people that you can focus your attention in. Niche is what is your expertise? What do you specialize in? And doing this differentiation can be extremely powerful because allow us to connect, network, and establish good relationships with other service professionals that serve the same target market than us, that already are there, and they have a different specialty than us. So why not? They are natural people that we can connect with and collaborate with. And many of them say, incredible how mutual referrals can happen that way.
Excellent. It's a win-win for everybody. Because you're working with the ideal person and you're shifting those people to another person who prefers to work with someone else. I think that's the biggest problem or challenge that a lot of, especially new business owners have. They do want to work with everybody because they think that everybody's their market, or they're worried that they're not going to have enough money and you know. And I only know this because I've been there. I did that years ago, and I can remember how painful it was. And I can remember working with so many people who were not good fits. And you know what? It's like you're working much harder. You're trying harder you're trying so hard to please the person that you're not actually doing the work that they hired you to do. It takes so much longer to do it because you're trying to figure out, I think it's a lot to do with personality, likes and choices and things like that. I mean, there's just so many elements involved. So how do you decide who your target audience is?
One of the ways, so to say, like I said, because people really resist a lot about focusing a target market. It's like something, and then when they decide, things start to happen. But people, they don't want to put themselves in a box. And I still remember that I was working with, it was a photographer, and he told me, I don't want to get myself in a box. I'm not a wedding photographer, and I hate that idea, and I don't want to feel that I'm confined in a box, picking a target market. And what I told him was, because I work a lot with metaphors, and my clients are my best inspiration. So when he told me that he felt himself in the box, I told him, okay, so do you feel the box like constraining you and you are all squeezed there inside? And say, yes, I feel like that and it's horrible. Okay, so start to come out of the box. Imagine the box is open, you can come out and you can get out of the box and you can stretch your arms and stretch yourself. And how do you feel now out of the box? And oh, it feels great. I can move. I can be creative. Really feels good. So I say, okay, step out of the box. Totally. Your feet are still there. Take it. Come out. And I imagine, ask him to imagine, come out of the box. Okay, so now you are out of the box, correct? Yes, it feels good. So now do me a favor and say, okay, yeah, flip the box. I want the top of the box, the thing that opens down, and I want the top solid part up. Can you do that? Yeah. Okay, do you see the box? See, it's like now it's like a soap box. No, yes. Now stand on the box now. And now look around. Can you see more? Yeah, I can see more. I'm standing in a higher place. It's my soapbox. I can see more. That is what the target market purpose is. Not getting locked in, but give you a higher platform that you can speak, that you can communicate your message. And yes, you have to speak a specific place to stand, but then you can decide to stand in another place. It's just your starting point.
Yeah.
And just by seeing this, or they say, so, okay, so let's do a list of groups that you already know that will use your services, your specialty. Okay, so just list all the groups that you can think of that could use your services. Now let's think about them. We can put like columns, and this, they are in the top of the columns. Okay, now let's do some rows there, and let's think about, what are the groups that you are passionate about, what they do, and you're very interested in? So let's give a number. Let's put a scale and and then, okay, what are the groups that you already know or maybe have even clients in? And then, so I take them to a process like this, and at the end, they had the numbers. I usually even keep it very simple. It's like -1, 0, and 1. 1 if it's something positive around that, 0 if it's neutral, and -1, oh, this group drains my energy out of me. I don't know nobody there, -1. And then if they add the columns, usually there is a couple of them that stand out with the higher marks. And they say, okay, now flip a coin. Any of them will be good for you, for your starting point. Just do it.
And then they can always go to number 2 and number 3 and number 4.
Totally. You can grow. Nice. It's like the message. I will say, okay, you know Starbucks. Yeah, of course I know Starbucks. Do they start like they start today? Or do they start with one store in Seattle? Oh, they start with the store in Seattle.
3 flavors instead of 300 flavors, exactly.
Oh. And then it works. They make it okay. And now now let's open another store, or let's increase the size of this store. There are different ways of growing. So, but you have to start somewhere.
Build a fan base, I think. You build that base of raving fans that do nothing but sing your praises. And once you've done that, then you can multiply that much easier because you know how that happened. Or you can analyze. You may not know sometimes. Don't know how it happened. They're just like dumbfounded. But they can go back and look through the steps that they took and then figure it out. Or use a coach, which is what when a coach comes. Another reason a coach comes in so handy, because sometimes we do not see what we're doing ourselves, but a coach can see that. So benefits of a coach are great.
And coaching is a say. I think coaching, I personally have my coach. And I think all coaches should have a coach, because we always have blind spots. Or a mastermind group doesn't have to be necessary. A coach can be a good mastermind group. But you have to have people that help you to see your blind spots.
Absolutely. I love my masterminds. I'm in a couple of them. And I over the years, I think I've been in 12 or 13. They are just the most phenomenal. And I love my coach too. So let's talk a little bit more about some the top 3 tips for using LinkedIn. What would be your top 3 tips?
So first, see it as a place to connect and communicate and develop deeper relationships with other people that you enjoy. So change your see as a place that can be fun to be and to spend time on. So it's changing our framework. Change your mindset around LinkedIn. That is the first essential step. Then really, second tip, really think about your LinkedIn headline to speak with the target market, the people that you want to reach in LinkedIn. And we use this formula. I help this group of people, target market, achieve, get in something that is the number one result that you can help them get and they are looking for. In my case, I help coaches enroll more clients. Very simple. So if you do that with that formula, you are like, you are communicating something with people that I help this group of people to get these results. So that is tip number two. And then really have that photo, pay attention that the photo is visible to everybody, that you have a photo that transmits the message that you want. Doesn't mean, we always say that has to be a professional looking photo. So sometimes with an iPhone, you can do a great work taking a nice photo with a neutral background. But that first impact is what people, your photo, your headline is what goes everywhere with you in LinkedIn. So you really have to take care of it.
I agree. So how does one go? Okay. So never mind. I've asked that question already. we've covered so much ground. I'm going all over the place. Let's talk about how you currently are marketing your business. What are the, some of the things that you're doing to let people know that you exist?
So we do a lot of webinars. So people always say, the first step, how they become aware that we even exist and we have something to offer in LinkedIn is going to be, we did in the beginning for 6 months, we really went very heavy in terms of investment in Facebook advertisement, because that is the strength of Facebook, right? The advertisement more than LinkedIn also has advertisement. You can use it, but for lower price leads for a webinar, Facebook works better. So we attract people from Facebook advertisement to a webinar, a free webinar in LinkedIn. And that really allow us to grow amazingly. And another way of growing amazingly is by connecting. We use our network and people in our network, other colleagues that serve the same target market, and we do joint venture partnerships. So they will invite the people in their emailing list to come to our one-off free webinars. And we do like this kind of joint webinars together, and it's really powerful, and we grow our list that way. So we are being amazing to collaborate with wonderful people and grow our community that way. So that is how we create awareness that we exist. And then think about the GVs are so powerful because are people that already have a relationship built with their community, with their tribe, and are presenting us as specialists in LinkedIn and applying the Book Yourself Solid in LinkedIn. There, so it's really powerful in terms of building quickly trust and credibility. But it's essential that we have that thing that we call a free event, a low barrier to entry, that people can come with, okay, it's their time. We still have to build enough trust or interest that they want to learn about that for free, because it's 1 hour of their time that we are asking. We have to be conscious that that is, it's a compromise. It's something they have to have enough trust what they see in our material to say, I'm going to invest 1 hour of my time to come to this event. But it's the starting point. It's what we speak in the Book Yourself Solid system is we see not a funnel. We don't like to see things as a funnel because it's like you push people down. We don't like that image. We like to see things as a cycle because people can come in different phases of our cycle. But it's very important if you have a big pie as our circle, if a big slice of that pie is free things, because it makes it easy to invite people to come in and to know us, to start to establish a relationship with them and for them to trust us and to see the value that we have to offer. Because then when we offer something, yes, okay, if you like this, you are going to love our program. Yes, it's a paid program, but you are going to see the return of investment. But people already know us a little. And sometimes we can do that cycle in a webinar because of the quantity of value that we deliver. And we enroll people like this way in our group program in LinkedIn.
Excellent. Excellent. Great, great advice. I wish we had more time. We're running out of time, but I did want to make a comment. Walter mentioned that he says, I believe that before someone starts to build a business, it's to start building relationships first in your target market. And I think Walter and Anna would probably agree. That's pretty much what Anna has been talking about this whole conversation, is that first you have to build the relationships. Yes. You have to get people to you know, like, and trust you, as my dear friend Bob Burke would say.
Totally. And it's like that you have, we are doing relationship marketing, speaking about Mary Smith. She has a book called Relationship Marketing. And that is what we do, really. Our service professionals, we love to help people, and we will build our business to building relationships.
Absolutely. Great advice. You've had such great advice. Let's talk about what's a typical day like for you.
Okay. So I work from home. You are seeing my home office. I think you already, some of you saw my husband go back and forth. This office is next door there. So he runs a real estate business from home. So it's also nice. So my morning, so I have a 7-year-old daughter. So you have, that is the family context. So I wake up, first thing, prepare my daughter to go to school. So you go out to school that she loves, and we are very happy about that. And then both of us start our work day. It's my husband that usually drives us to school. And I have my breakfast usually after she leave. I have my breakfast. And then I came here, and I like to, I have to be honest, I check my emails before I sign my iPhone during my breakfast most of the time. So it's a way, honestly, I know that it's not productivity expert saying that it's not the best thing, but for me, it's like a coffee. I wake up, it gets me awake. Oh, and then, but when I sit in the computer, I really try to use my to-do list in a very strategical way. I have a to-do list in Evernote, and I put at the top of my to-do list my priorities for the week. So what are the 3 things that I want to accomplish that week? And I have that at the top of my to-do list, because then I can ask myself if the time, if I have 10 items and I'm not managing to, what are the ones, if I have to taste, what is the one that I'm going next? I look to my priorities, and that helped me to decide, because we have to keep that clear. Otherwise, everything becomes the same value, when the reality, not all to-dos are equally important.
That is so true. That is so, true. And you can focus better, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then I like to have my lunch break. Usually we go out to, me and my husband, we go out together. Just is our, because both of us work from home. So we try at lunch, go out just to have that little bit of out time to speak a little. And then the afternoon, I love my work, and I work usually also in the afternoon until my daughter arrives, and then it's family time. And then I love is then after we put her in bed, we see a little bit TV, we speak. So this is a regular weekday. And I like, after everything is calm, we switch off the TV, and then I usually come back to my computer. And that is where I like more to work about with more things that I have to think a little bit more, or read something, or even do some progress. Use that time to let my creativity flow a little. I'm a night person, so my creativity comes at night when everything is quiet. There is no phones, no emails trickling in. It's where I can let that flow more.
You know, it's so funny. I'm exactly that same way. It's hard to get up early when you're a night person.
Yeah, and I think my theory is that most of productive experts, they must be morning people, because they say, always in the morning, take advantage of that first hour.
It is so true.
I say, I will fall asleep I will fall asleep.
It's so funny. My best time of day is 4:00. It seems like I get the best, most productive time of day. So we all have that sweet spot, right? One bit of advice, Anna, would you like to share with our audience that perhaps we haven't talked about yet?
We spoke about focus. That is so important. The other thing is really have clear and never lose why you start your business in the first place. There is a reason. There is that fire that burns inside us for some reason. Knowing why we do what we do, that is our, should be like our North Star. So I think we always have to have that clear.
Yes, I agree. Well, thank you so much. What books are you currently reading, or would you recommend?
Books that I recommend, of course. and the second book now that also from Michael that I really absolutely for anybody doing doing public speaking and presentation is still the show. I'm going over the second time over the book because it's loads of great advice. And I'm giving you some classicals here. And of course, I love always all of the Seth Godin ones.
Anything by Seth Godin is the best.
Exactly. How do you say? So that are the ones that I'm surrounding here. Of these books. And then I do a lot of audiobooks. Is what I like to consume is via the audiobooks.
Excellent.
So I'm the dream avatar for a published company. I buy the audiobooks, then the Kindle, because and then the book. If I really like the book, I buy the book. So
funny. Well, that's wonderful. Well, all right. Last question. What's next for Anna Malikian?
What's next? Develop my own intellectual propriety, because it's so important. If I know in terms of why I do what I do, that I was speaking, I knew from the beginning why I would do what I do, but it took me some years to articulate it in a way that I think now I can take it to the next level. And my big why and what I stand for is expanding possibilities for me, for my family, for my clients, for my friends. For me, it's all about expanding the possibilities that we have in front of us, that then we have to choose and go for what we decide to. So I have my own podcast that is called Mindset Zone. So if you go to mindset.zone, you can go to my podcast there. And that is where I want to focus more in the future and develop more things of helping people, what I call a mindset workout. We go to the health club to work out, or we go to a yoga class. So why don't we have this space in our lives that we go to work and to make it more flexible, our mindsets?
That's great. And we'll definitely tune into mindset.zone. What's the best way for our audience to get in touch with you?
So if you go to both my websites, mindset.zone or moreclientsmorefun.com. And my email, you just can email me, Anna, at mindset.zone.
Excellent. Anna, I wish we had a lot more time because I obviously didn't ask you all the questions that I had planned, but you answered a lot of them anyway. And I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your busy day. Time is such a precious commodity that we all have. So I really appreciate and honor that time together. So I want to thank you for being with us today. Thank all our guests for listening.
Yes.
Everybody who's watching the replay, Anna Malikian. She's amazing. Make sure you follow her everywhere. You're on all the social medias.
Yes.
But make sure you go to her sites and you can click on all those social media links. Anna, thank you again for being with us.
Thank you. And time flies when you are having fun.
It really does. So I want to say thanks and bye, everyone. My name is Heidi Richards Mooney. You've been watching the Entrepreneur Show. It is a project of Women in E-Commerce, and I'm the founder of Women in E-Commerce, which is WECAI.org. Be sure and check us out as well. Bye-bye, everyone, and thanks. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.